1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 to 42. I come now to the final discourse on this section, and I'm looking particularly at verses 41 and 42. David and Jonathan have hatched this plan between them, and Jonathan carries it out. And so, by the scheme of shooting arrows with the boy, picking up the arrows and so on, David discovers that Saul really does want to kill him, and he must flee. And we read in verse 41 that David and Jonathan met together. David got up and bowed down before Jonathan three times, with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever." Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. There is much here that is commendable in both men. They are young men, but they teach us such a lot. In the life of Jonathan, as I'm speaking here, we see exemplified here real love, overcoming separation and time. Their word is their bond, these two men, Jonathan in particular, here I'm speaking on. But they're having to meet for the last time and part. They will meet just once more, briefly. We'll come across that in chapter 23, 15 to 18. But there's only two more references to Jonathan now. Meeting that, on that brief occasion, that short time with David in chapter 23. And then he will die with Saul at Gilboa. But this friendship then, in a sense, is over now, but it's not over. Jonathan wishes peace upon his friend. And he remembers and he stresses again the sworn friendship with each other, all in the name of the Lord, the spiritual friendship, abiding friendship. The Lord is witness between you and me, and not only between us, but between our descendants, yours and mine, forever. There is this bond that will last even through death itself. Love is even greater than death, it seems here. It's a vital friendship. It's a living, warm, loving relationship, broken, snapped, ripped apart by a jealous man and his hatred of David. They would never break their vow, even though their company would have to break. We need such friends as this. We need such covenants as this. We need such relationships as this. We need such friendship, this commitment, this loving, warm relationship. We're made for this sort of thing. And Jonathan and David were highly privileged to have each other. And God was in it. There is much commendable here. Much to commend itself to us and challenge us and warn us and encourage. So I challenge you, brother and sister. I warn you. If you want to be such a friend, if you want to have such a friend, then be such a friend. Are you committed in this way? Is this what our ecclesia life is like? Is it like it for you? Marriages should be like this, and more. This is a loving, warm, constant relationship, even to their own hurt and loss. But, and there is a but here, it comes in the last sentence. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. What do I mean here? Is not Jonathan making a wretched choice here? Is he not making the wrong choice here? Is he not throwing in his lot with the wrong man here? When he went back to the town, he was going back to the court, back to the king, back to Saul, back to all that. And as I say, these two young men would only meet once more, briefly, and then Jonathan would die with Saul, on Mount Gilboa. Should he not have been with David? Is there not a warning here to me, and to you, brother and sister? We can corrupt ourselves. We can do the wrong thing by not separating from the world. I'm thinking of James 4:4. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 6 at the end. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Should Jonathan not have left David and gone back to the town? Should the last verse have read, then David and Jonathan left and went into hiding, or departed from Saul, or some such? Is it not Jonathan's mistake here? Has he not opted for the wrong man? He should have chosen David and not Saul. I put it to you, my brother and sister. I warn myself and I warn you. Separation is the calling of the believer. Here is a challenge too to the unbeliever, and I want to put it to you. What I'm thinking of is this. You get presented with the free offer of the gospel. Christ offers himself and all his works and ways and accomplishments for you. He offers to wash you from your sin and present you faultless before the presence of God. He offers to be your Savior, your Lord, your King, your Master, your all in all. He makes invitations to you. He gives you commands. He opens his arms to you. He pleads with you. Come unto me. God begs you to be reconciled to himself through Christ, and so on. But many sinners, hearing that offer, what do? The equivalent of Jonathan here. They'd rather be with Saul than they would be with David. What do I mean? They make a wretched choice. They make the wrong choice. They turn from Christ to the world or whatever it might be. I'm thinking of Isaac Watts' hymn, How Sweet and Awful Is the Place with Christ Within the Doors. And here he has a verse in that hymn when he puts a question to himself. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. He pictures the gospel as a feast. And Christ invites sinners to come and dine with him. He promises to dine with them. Come, for all things are now ready, he says. All things are now ready. Come. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. What says, why was I made to hear thy voice? And enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. A wretched choice, saying no to Christ, and they starve. And then he speaks like this. It was God's love, God's effective power, that brought him to Christ. And he says, if I'd not come to Christ, and he speaks to other believers, if we had not come to Christ, if you had not come to Christ, he says, we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. I see an illustration of it here. Jonathan could have gone with David, but he made a wretched choice. And it's virtually the end of him. Oh, unbelieving friend, don't make a wretched choice now. Fall in with Christ. Close in with Christ. Hear his offer, receive it, and receive Christ, and you will be saved. So I see these several lessons for the believer, that we must have such love and affection and abiding covenantal vows. But a warning, not to side with the wrong party. There is a place and a time to come out and be separate. And it's a challenge and a warning and encouragement to the sinner, the unbeliever. Come to Christ, for if you refuse him, you will perish. Do not make a wretched choice over this great issue. I plead with you. May these few remarks be a blessing to us all, for Christ's sake. Amen.